Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Well, these are the stories that we've got for tonight. We have in England, an Oxford University professor of neurology says that unborn babies, well, she calls them fetuses, may develop consciousness long before the legal age limit for abortions. She's one of Britain's leading brain scientists. So we'll get to that story. And what else do we have? Oh, also in England, there is an explosion, soaring rates of sexually transmitted infections. And they're overwhelming England's health system, threatening a generation of young people. All right. And that's after a couple decades of safe sex education, which obviously doesn't work. Then we've got an Iraqi defector from Saddam's elite Republican Guard. Defected 11 days ago in northern Iraq. And he says they've been completely outfitted with protective gear for use in deploying chemical weapons so that they do not get injured by them, including gas masks, first aid kit, injections, and so on. And we've got Hans Blix's report to the UN Student Council, which details all the missing weapons that Iraq has not yet accounted for, like scuds and bombs laced with chemical weapons and VX nerve agent and anthrax. Oh, yeah, and Hans just forgot to mention the unmanned drones that can fly 500 miles and drop chemical or biological agents on Saddam's enemies. It was in his report, 173-page report, somewhere around page 150, but he somehow forgot to mention that in his presentation. And then we also have the concern in the Gulf. You know, they're not concerned about Saddam's navy. He doesn't exactly have a navy any longer. But they're concerned about Al-Qaeda suicide boats and Al-Qaeda trying to blow up. So how many ships do we have out there? About 130 now? We have 5 aircraft carriers in the Gulf already, a 6th on the way. And so among the efforts to defend ourselves, we've trained sea lions to watch over our vessels. And for example, if there's someone underwater in scuba gear trying to swim toward one of our ships and attach a bomb, the sea lions are trained to attach a clamp to the person. And then what happens after the clamp is attached? I think that's top secret. We don't know yet. And then what else do we have? We've got, so these are stories. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. We have a pastor in, I've got two newspapers here, Indianapolis Star newspapers, 2 days in a row. And the one has a pastor's article on the biblical guidelines for justifying war. It's interesting. And we have, Michael Bolton, the singer. He said, going to war without the French is like hunting without an accordion. That's good. Very good, Mike. Funny. And then Saddam wants us to end the sanctions now. That he's a master of timing, huh? I think if I were Ari Fleischer, I'd say We think the White House thinks that's a good idea, and we're considering ending the sanctions in April. That'd be my response. And then here from the Indianapolis Star, I should get to the phones really, but here's an arrest of a former Indianapolis Colts cornerback. And his name is Mustafa Muhammad. He didn't want to go through a metal detector at the city and county building in Indianapolis. And he told the police there that he was God, and he refused to go through the metal detector. God could go through a metal detector and not have it go off if he didn't want it to go off. So I don't understand the reasoning there. But let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278 in Compton, California. Johnny, speak your mind.
Hey, hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
I have a question about the definition of forgiveness.
All right.
But you know, while I was sitting on hold listening to you, I remembered I had a question also about the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
But regarding forgiveness, I find that Luke 17, 3 and 4 give most Christians who I've spoken to very strong and just about conclusive proof that we have to, that one has to repent before we forgive.
Yeah. As a general rule, forgiveness follows repentance. God doesn't forgive people unless they repent.
Right.
Otherwise, they go to hell.
Right. The follow-up question I get with that is, should Christians resent? Because I haven't looked up the research myself. I haven't researched this myself, but they tell me that there are many passages in the Bible that speak against resenting and holding grudges.
Okay. Well,
so what exactly is forgiveness?
Okay. Well, if you forgive someone, you should definitely not hold a grudge against them. Or you shouldn't have bitterness toward them if you've forgiven them. Right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, resent, I've got here on the computer a New King James. On the computer, my co-host, in fact, his name is Al the Fourth. And he's got a New King James in his memory. He memorized the whole thing. And I just asked him to look up the word resent in the New King James. And he says here, resent is not in the Bible. So resent is not in the New King James anyway. And, the Bible does talk a lot about bitterness.
Does it speak about bitterness in a negative way?
Well, certainly it speaks about it in neutral ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you could be poisoned by bitterness, for example. Hold on, we'll be right back. Bob and Yurt Live, listener-supported radio, and it's thanks to those of you out there in Radioland and on the internet at kgov.com, kgov.com. Those of you who call in, who go to our internet store at KGov and support the show either through monthly pledges or subscribing to our monthly Bible study albums once a month for $34.95 a month, which we could charge to your credit card automatically each month. We mail you a Bible study album right around the middle of the month. And boy, are the albums fun. And we have a 30-day money-back guarantee on everything. So if you don't trust my opinion or the opinion of hundreds of others who have subscribed to our albums and Bible study tapes, you can check it out for yourself. And I think you'll enjoy it. We start out with an overview of the whole Bible. And then we start getting into books of the Bible and different topics. It's really fun. Predestination and free will, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the last days, miracles and healing. We cover it and we enjoy it. And also, you can call us and get our material, our catalog, our 2003 catalog. And it lists all the videos we have, 25 videos or so? All the audio tape albums. And also, you can see all this on the web at kgov.com, our internet store. And, hey, it's you guys out there who help us not only stay on the air, but continue to reach more and more people. So thank you for those who have visited Denver Bible Church this last week. Thanks, you guys, for visiting. And we're looking forward to continuing to reach people, especially during this time of war. People are going to be looking for answers, and the Bible's got the answers. So give us a call, 800-8-NYARD. All right. Let's see. I mentioned these videos. You guys have heard all about the videos. I'll try to mention all the titles real quick. Defending the Faith, Planet Stars in the Bible, Infanticide Exposed, The Real Mount Sinai, The Trouble with Lawyers, ShadowGov Launch. Now, we thought we got rid of that. I got an old list here. Okay, forget the ShadowGov Launch. Do we have any copies of that left? No. We think we're totally out of stock, so don't order that. You can go to the forum for Bob and Yurt Live and post a note at kgov.com under the show. You can go to the forum and post a note. That actually goes to theologyonline.com and ask if anybody's got that video you can borrow. ShadowGov Launch. It's fun, but it's out of stock. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. Right, Johnny, so if you forgive someone, you're not going to grow in bitterness against them. And that's a sign that helps you to know, to search your own heart and know if you really have forgiven someone or not. And with the psychobabble within the Christian community, people are told to forgive apart from repentance. And in that circumstance, people, Christians, really do end up bitter. Because it's this bogus forgiveness going on. So, you there, Johnny?
Brought this topic up.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my own pastor instructed the church that we should do this because if we don't, we're gonna die, and the resentment is going to kill us from the inside, and that sort of thing.
That you should forgive.
That you should forgive even if a person doesn't repent. I mean, not in those words.
Now,
Jesus, but I can tell it was unconditional.
Now, a modern humanist psychologist will tell you to forgive even those who don't repent because of their psychobabble reason that otherwise you'll be eaten up with bitterness.
Well, now, the way I described it to one of my sisters was, I describe it as seminar Christianity.
Right. Well, that's a good term.
Yeah,
but
I don't like that.
Jesus said if he sins against you, rebuke him. If someone sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, "I repent," you shall forgive him. So anyway, that's Christian psychobabble.
Okay.
And it's
unfortunate. Do you have a moment for a Pledge of Allegiance question?
All right, go ahead.
I grew up in a public school, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance daily, and I said it proudly as a young man, and even to today I've said it proudly.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the words, I kind of wonder how proud saying it am I, because I kind of feel that the Lord's name is taken in vain.
You mean because we
say it's one nation under God, but is it?
Yeah, because we are systematically eradicating God.
Exactly.
From
We're trying
government.
To get him out, but we keep saying under God.
Right.
It seems like it's more political. In other words, it seems like it's in vain.
Yeah.
Worthless.
Well, that's, I could see somebody taking that position. On the other hand, we as Christian Americans, we can live under God, and we could seek to get more of our countrymen to submit to God. So, and I'm sure that phrase never meant that all Americans were under God. And at any time, if it meant that our government was mostly godly, then it was obviously wrong from the get-go. We When did the pledge come into use? We only added the phrase under God, in God we trust, on our currency just a few decades ago.
Well, I heard that under God was added in the 1950s, probably 1954-ish.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And it served as a purpose to separate us from the communists.
Yeah, that sounds historically correct. And I think with our currency, you know, our currency used to be backed by gold. And so our government changed that, and so it's no longer backed by gold. And when they took it off the gold standard, then they put "In God We Trust" on the money, because since obviously it's not backed by gold anymore, they figured, well, maybe people would accept God validating our money. But we've had terrible inflation ever since. So. All right. Anything else, sir?
No, that'll be all.
All right. I appreciate
you taking my call.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
I appreciate your call. 1-800-836-9278. So this Indianapolis Star article here, three county sheriff's deputies suffered minor injuries during a scuffle at the city and county building with a man authorities identified as a former Indianapolis Colts cornerback, Mustafa Muhammad. Muhammad, 29 years old, was entering the building when the deputies said he refused to walk through a metal detector, refused to empty his pockets, and told them he was God, and then refused to leave the building. Oh, brother. Major Polly Cox of the Sheriff's Department said Muhammad then shoved the deputies before he was arrested. Muhammad told the Star he was upset because a car he was riding in had been towed from its spot near the state capitol. He said he was poorly treated while in custody. Well, you know, Muhammad, human beings do not treat God all that well. So I guess if you're going to impersonate someone, you might want to impersonate someone who gets better, doesn't get short shrift from our culture. You think you're going to say you're God and get good treatment? Boy, what world are you living on? All right, so he was arrested on charges of battery, resisting law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and they sent him to the hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. Now, that's inappropriate. Our government shouldn't be doing things like that in cases like this. You know, that's what the Soviets did to intimidate people. They sent them to psychiatric hospitals. And it's been done in this country also. It's been used against pro-lifers here in Colorado. Real sad. They send pro-lifers up to Fort Logan saying that they must be mentally ill. I mean, that's a Joseph Stalin tactic. Planned Parenthood, they're all for that. All right, let's go to Indianapolis. Larry, speak your mind. Hello,
Kevin,
Larry.
You have a state religion, Bob. You know, I was browsing through some of my information that I have, and I found an account of George Washington's deathbed when he died. His secretary, Tobias Lyers,
yeah,
wrote these down, and it was an actual at his bedside when he died, and there's not one mention of God or anything here. Except at his funeral procession, the Masons done their ritual when he was buried. But he did not mention any trust or faith in God or anything on his deathbed.
Larry, is your point that George Washington didn't believe in God?
He was a Masonic of the Masonic order.
Well,
and did not believe in God the way we do.
The Masons are definitely a messed up group. They say you should have a religious deity, but it doesn't matter what deity.
Be sure it wasn't God,
so,
the way we think about
so,
it.
So, yeah, that's terrible. And I'm not an expert on the Masons, but I do think that back at the time of George Washington in the late 1700s, I think that there were many more mainstream Christians as members of the Masons, and that over the next decades, it became increasingly pagan.
He was a member of the Fairfax Lodge number 23.
Well, did you?
At the Corporation of
Larry,
Alexandria, Virginia.
Larry, did you hear what I just said? You didn't respond to what I just said.
Go ahead. Can you repeat it, please?
Okay. I think that back during the time of George Washington, there was a lot more mainstream Christians were members of the Masons. And over the ensuing decades, then it became much more pagan. Now, do you know if that's true or not? Because that's my impression.
The impression I get from this actual account. Now, this is an actual account.
That account is not about the Masons. I'm asking you a question historically about the Masons. It's okay to say I don't know.
Well, yes, I think that it was more it was pagan back then because that's where it was derived from.
So you're disagreeing. I'm saying that
disagreeing with
Larry.
You.
So to make it clear, I'm saying many more mainstream Christians were members of the Masons back then. And today we strongly urge people to get out of the Masons because it's basically a quasi-religious organization that doesn't therefore teaching false theology and religion because it says any God will do. And Jesus Christ said he is the only way to salvation, the only way to the Father. All right, Larry, thank you for your call. All right, appreciate that. Let's go to Plymouth, Indiana. Oh, and I shouldn't have hung up on Larry that quickly because I'd like to add to that discussion that you don't determine whether someone's a Christian based on something they said at one particular time or even on their deathbed. That's not a determination of whether you're a Christian or not. And people on their deathbeds sometimes are not all there. So I would want to look at the evidence from Washington's writings and speeches and life and see what his claims were about whether he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so I'd like to see that evidence. That would give us a much fuller picture than what someone said on his deathbed. I've been with people in their hospital rooms or in their living rooms when they're dying, and they're not always, you know, extremely cogent. Let's go to Plymouth, Indiana, 1-800-836-9278. Eric, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Luke 17:3. Man, I'm so glad that I found that verse.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions on it, though, right quick.
Yes, sir.
When a person repents, sins against you and repents.
Yes.
Is there a difference between confessing and repenting? Are we to assume that due to the fact that they are repenting of their sin against you, that they have confessed it? Is confess and repent the same difference?
Are you talking about confessing to God versus confessing to you?
Well, I would say if someone sins against you and you want to forgive that person, but they continue to sin against you all the time.
Well, then why I don't see why we need to talk about confession.
Well,
right? We're talking
confessing to you, Bob. I sinned against you. I feel bad about what I did. And I want to repent
all right.
of what
I... Well, in Luke 17, it just uses the word repent for that function.
Yeah.
Jesus said...
Are we to assume that means that we are confessing and repenting?
Yeah. Jesus says if he comes to you seven times in a day saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So we could... I think we're just confusing the matter to introduce two terms.
Okay.
So let's say if somebody comes to you and says, I repent, then you should forgive him. And Jesus is pointing out that we should give people the benefit of the doubt and be generous and merciful in our forgiveness. And if someone sins against you and then they repent and you forgive them, and then they continue to do it, like let's say they're having an affair with someone
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, you know, while they're having the affair, they're obviously not repentant.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be foolish to forgive them if they're continuing the same behavior. But the moment they stop the behavior and they ask for forgiveness, you should forgive them.
Okay, one more quick one. At the beginning of that verse, speaking about rebuke them, I have a Bible dictionary at home, and I'm on the road right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I can look up rebuke at home. Can you tell me real quick if you know for sure or what you guess rebuke means?
Well, to rebuke someone is to confront them with their sin. So if someone, let's say someone is
slandering you,
or better yet, slandering you, you can tell them that what they're doing is wrong, it's hurtful, it's ungodly, and they need to repent. And that would be rebuking them. All right?
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. God bless you. We'll be right back. one 800 836 9278. Wait a minute. This commercial break is for those listening only via the internet at kgov.com or on our tapes. So you guys know the phone number. I wanted to try to read all these video titles for you. I'll start with our bestsellers. But then when I read the title, I want to describe what it's about. So it's hard to get through them all. So I'll give real brief descriptions. Real brief. Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection. God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support. A Bible Tour of Israel. See all the evidence in Israel for the Bible. Get Out of the Matrix. That's when I debated an entire college philosophy class and their professor. Live from Las Vegas, debating liberals on the convention center floor. That was fun. Morality, Why God Forbids Sexual Immorality. And that's also my testimony. Mount St. Helens. How can we be out of time? I didn't get through it again. We're back. 1-800-836-9278. Sorry about that hard break into the last commercial. I was so wrapped up with the caller. Just sailed through the bumper. Okay. Now, our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. I do want to go to Holyoke, Massachusetts, before I get to this next story. Johnny, speak your mind.
Greetings.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Great. Hey, that was fun when you went through that bumper thing, whatever.
Yeah, it just blew right through the commercial.
It was fun, though.
It's live radio, you know?
Yes. Hey, you said something last night. I was listening to last night's show about God sending people to hell.
Okay.
Okay, and this is just fun, you know.
Johnny, this is Monday night.
Yes.
Do we air in out of Chicopee or Springfield on Sunday night?
This is Monday night.
Yeah.
And you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. This is Monday night, and it's what time is it? Let me look at my.
Well, it's 9:34 by you.
Okay, that's it. Yep.
That's atomic clock time. And Johnny, we're not on Sunday nights. We're on Monday through Friday.
Right.
So Friday night show?
Yeah. No, this is Monday.
Tonight's Monday. Last night.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Last night was Monday. Friday night.
Okay.
And it would have been repeated, you know, a couple hours before this show.
Oh, I see. So because out of Springfield, we got a repeat.
Yes.
Okay. I got it. So,
I can hear myself tomorrow.
Yeah, you can. Okay. All right. Well, then do a good job.
I'll try.
Okay.
Well, what I wanted to tell you is I think you're a good pastor.
What? I didn't catch that.
I think you're a good pastor.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
And in Italian, it would be you're a good pasta.
A good pasta.
Okay. Well, anyway, you said on last show, that God sends people to hell. Well, God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves there.
Very good. Very good clarification.
Well, thank you.
Excellent, Johnny.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true because, you know, these people, if let's take just Hillary, for example, because everyone knows Hillary. If God after she died, if God put Hillary in heaven, she would be miserable.
Wow. I know. I heard you say that before.
Yeah. And Hillary does not want to live with God. And the last thing in the world she wants to do is hang out with Bob Enyart or Billy Graham or Moses or David or Jesus or the apostles. She's not interested, so she doesn't want to live with God. She hates God, and so therefore God is actually giving her her wish, and she'll be able to live forever without God.
It's just amazing how it does this.
Now, if God did torment them all the more and put these people in heaven, it would not take long for them to turn heaven into hell. Because God gave Adam and Eve paradise on this earth, and they rebelled against God and turned life on this earth into close to hell.
And, of course, that's an impossibility.
What is?
For somebody to actually be able to go to heaven and turn it into hell.
Well, Lucifer and the demons were up there.
But they're in the second heaven. They can't turn heaven into hell.
What do you mean they're in the second heaven? What Are you a Mormon?
No.
Okay, good. Good, Johnny. No, if Lucifer goes to speak with God before the throne, he's not on the second floor or something.
Right,
he's in heaven.
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here than there. That's a minor issue.
Right, I know.
But yeah, it would torment unbelievers for God to let them into heaven.
Of course.
And he'd have to force them into heaven. And if he did, then he would be tormenting those who love him, because these unbelievers would turn heaven into hell, because hell happens to be wherever they live forever.
That's right. Yep. Everybody chooses. They take their place in this life.
And there's no better way. I like to let people think, well, if you were God, if you think you could come up with a better system than God is revealed in the Bible, then what would you do? What would you do with people who hurt themselves and reject God and don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ? What would you do with them?
Well, there's 10,000 of faces of evil. I mean masks.
Huh?
There's tens of thousands of masks of evil.
Masks?
Or of the devil.
Masks of evil?
Sure.
I don't know what you mean by that phrase.
It's got... I don't know.
You mean that evil presents itself in all different kinds of ways?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, very good, Johnny.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the correction. God bless you. Hey, it's not often we get corrected on this show, so we do appreciate that. All right, 1-800-836-9278. Here's this article out of England. Baroness Greenfield, professor of neurology at Oxford University, said that there's evidence that the conscious mind of an unborn baby, a fetus, is developed during the time when abortions are done legally in Britain. Now, in this country, abortions are legal through how many trimesters, through how many weeks? I'm asking my show engineer. All three trimesters, through the whole, right up until birth. Yeah, and that's true. It depends on what state you're in. Some states limit it a bit, but here in Colorado, we have ads in the Yellow Pages for abortion through 26 weeks. Yellow Page ads. Denver Metro Yellow Pages, page 1, abortion, Warren Hearn up in Boulder, the Boulder Abortion Clinic. Yeah, he advertises outpatient abortion through 26 weeks. And he's done them a lot older than that. He writes about it. In fact, he says in his, Warren Hearn has written that when you dismember a fetus, he writes that the act of destruction, you could feel it through the forceps. And he describes the baby as a parasite to the mother. So he's quite a character. evil and should be punished for his crimes. But we as Americans, we can't punish the current batch of abortionists that are killing babies for money. We can't punish them, rightly so, because it's legal. And so we first have to outlaw it, and abortion is murder. And then after we change the law, then anyone who does an abortion after that should be punished accordingly. But we can't retroactively change the law. Like Bill Clinton did, he changed the law, increased taxes, and he made it retroactive. That was a good one. Back until before he took office. How was that? That was a trip. All right. And then we have this Indianapolis Star, a column, like a guest editorial, about biblical guidelines for justifying war. And this is from a pastor named David Owen. And it's interesting because he puts some reasonable principles in his column, but he starts out, it cracks me up when people write and the words they use and the way they set up arguments. And I wonder, do they know what they're saying, or are they just confused? Are they intentionally trying to twist the issue by being subtly deceptive? In South Bend, Indiana, first let's go to a call. Dean, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Dean.
I was wanting to talk to you about the Middle East. With Iraq.
Yeah.
And I mentioned something a few weeks ago about...
Dean, could you speak up a little louder?
Okay. I mentioned something about the freedom of religion, and that's one of the goals we should be pursuing over there.
Yeah.
And think about this, too. If we have freedom of religion, then it won't be a breeding ground for this type of Islamic fanaticism.
Well, you know, the reporters that are in Kuwait right now?
Right.
One of them on, I forget if it was Fox News Channel or CNN. One of the reporters in a live remote news update said that morning in their hotel, they got notices slipped under each door, every reporter in the hotel.
Right.
And it reminded them that if they did a report for any Israeli media outlet, newspaper, radio, TV, that they would be arrested and tried in Kuwait.
Okay.
Just for doing a news report for a Jewish media outlet. They better not look to see who owns some of these networks. But so not only religious freedom, but the entire Arab world is guilty of intense racism, just absolute intense racism. And, yeah, religious freedom in the Arab world, real good idea, finally. All right, I'm going to read the video titles and their descriptions, and I'm going to get through the whole list. Here goes. Mount Moriah, evidence for the resurrection. God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. A Bible tour of Israel, evidence that the Bible is true in Israel. See it for yourself. Get out of the matrix. Bob debates a college philosophy class. Live from Las Vegas, Bob debates liberals on the convention center floor, morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. It's also part of my testimony. Mount St. Helens, now that's from Creation Research, the Institute for Creation Research, and it's about when Mount St. Helens, the volcano blew. It's really cool, evidence for creation. And then we've got, what else here? Divorce and remarriage, Bible verses that most people have never heard of. Sex has a price tag. Video by Pam Stenzel about premarital sex. Excellent to show, if you got kids, grandkids, young people, singles. Excellent video. 100-day plan. Oh, no, that's gone. We don't have that video any longer. Sorry. I got to get an updated list here. Right? We have an updated list. I need to get one. Yeah, look at this. This has the wrong price for video fruitcake. We'll get this right. We'll get this right one of these days. Okay, Bob debates predestination. That is against a pastor, author, moderated by John Mangopoulos, a TV talk show host in Lansing, Michigan. That was a fun debate. But you cannot order that video until you first listen to the Predestination and Free Will audio album. That's prerequisite. Absolute must. In fact, if you order both of them, we ask you on your honor to promise you'll listen to the audio album first, then watch the video. Because otherwise, the video might just blow you out of the water. And you might, unless you're already, you know, in tune with all the nuances of the predestination free will debate, I highly recommend you listen to the audio album first. Hear the positions we take here at Bob and Yurt Live and at DenverBibleChurch.org. And then watch the video and see how those positions hold up in a moderated debate. Okay, what else do we have? Video of fruitcake. That's funny video. That's really funny. A bunch of just lunatic liberal callers, one after another. Bob on drugs, talking to a... We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. So we're going to go right to the phones in West Springfield, Mass. But this pastor, just let me read the introduction to his column. He asks, and it's about justifying war. And he asks, is it always appropriate to say, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition? Is it always appropriate? In other words, is every war, should we support every war? And he says many Christians through the ages have wrestled with this. No, they haven't. No Christian in the history of the world who's ever written has said that we should support every war. So how could, and if you're writing a piece for a major newspaper, how could people be so loose with their ideas, unless he's trying to give a negative slant to Christians who advocate us going after justice and freedom in this war? All right, let's go back to Massachusetts, West Springfield. Dave, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on that thing about Hillary Clinton. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And my take on hell. You know, Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Right.
And I can't imagine anyone, when eternity is rolled back, you know, when this time is rolled back and you see eternity for what it is and you see God in all his glory, that anyone could even remotely want to be anywhere else.
Oh, I do. Hey, Dave. Okay, you could go on with that thought, but how about Lucifer and the third of the angels that have already fallen? Doesn't that, thinking about them, doesn't that show that your gut reaction there is wrong?
Well, I don't know, their perspective was a little different.
Yeah, they had a really good perspective on God.
Huh?
They had a really good perspective on God.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that, but, I mean, if everyone is going to confess he's Lord, and if we were to see him as he is, what, don't you think it might be kind of like hell to see God and want to be with all the love? I mean, if he is love and he is everything,
no,
that
I completely disagree with that.
And not being able to live in that realm with him?
No, not at all.
No.
No, I totally disagree with that.
In the Old Testament where someone was in the abyss on the other side and wanted to reach through and touch, you know, be touched with quench the fire in
yeah,
there.
That's in the New Testament.
What is that?
That's Jesus and the rich man and Lazarus, right?
Yeah, so he was...
And by the way, it's almost only Jesus in the Bible who talks about how terrible hell will be. You know, a lot of Christians think the Old Testament, God was mean, and in the New Testament, Maybe he went for counseling or something, and he's nice and loving in the new. But in reality, it's the New Testament, and it's specifically Jesus who gives us all the material on how terrible hell is. And the weeping and gnashing of teeth and the hellfire that is never quenched and where the worm does not die. Jesus is the one who tells us about all that. In fact, until Jesus, a lot of teachings of the afterlife and hell around the world, they were all pretty murky and uncertain. And Jesus is really the one who very clearly gave the world this notion of hell, where you're in torment forever because of your wickedness.
So if every knee were to bow and every tongue confessed,
that's at Judgment Day. And because have you ever seen in the media somebody who's in court and they're in there for murder, say, and they're mocking the judge and they're mocking the wife of the police officer that this guy recently killed, and there's no respect and there's no acknowledgement, and God being God, he's not going to allow that on Judgment Day. There will be enforced respect. An acknowledgement of their own failure. So that'll be good to see Turner do that.
In that sense, they wouldn't really be recognizing him for being God and being the supreme authority.
They will, but not because they want to. It would be like going into a courtroom today and the judge saying, take off your hat and show some respect. And today, a defendant might say, no, right? And basically, the judges, they're used to being disrespected, and there's not all that much that could be done about it of any real impact to deter it.
It's hard to imagine someone that would be so embedded in evil and hate that they wouldn't desire God when they actually would see him.
I can't relate to that, Dave.
Uh-huh.
I cannot relate to what you just said. I don't have to imagine. It's just right there, right in front of me. And through the whole Bible, when God does the most extraordinary things and Jesus does miracles and God just shows his power through Moses, and everybody who sees it, for the most part, they turn on him or they hate him. So that's what men do.
Well, there was a point in creation where it says that God had repented because of the evilness in man's heart continuously.
In Genesis 6, God said that he repented. He was sorry that he had made man.
So that was pretty bad.
Yeah, and how about in Jeremiah, when they were killing their babies and burning them alive on these altars where they would get these raging fires burning to Molech, and they would take their babies and put them on the altar and kill their babies. And God said twice in Jeremiah, it never entered my mind that you would do such evil things. And some people think that everything that happens as a command that flows out of the mind of God. And God says also in there, he says, it never entered my mind to command such things or that you would do such things. Mankind is horrendously evil. And humility is not something that we exhibit.
So when we think about evil in that sense, and this world right now, this world system is considered evil in the Bible. The New Testament teaches that.
Right.
We're living in an evil age.
Right.
It's not just bad, it's as one might count badness. It's rotten to the core.
Yeah, it's evil. It's that people, you know, like Rush Limbaugh was saying, how could you figure out a liberal? And why do liberals come to the conclusions they do? And he says you can't analyze it. You can't figure it out. And that's because he's leaving out the spiritual dimension that they hate God and therefore they reject truth.
Now, do you think, in light of that, with our president in a position of you know, it seems to me that he's set against evil. And he certainly confesses Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that would make him prone to make all the right decisions. But
not at all. Last year, Planned Parenthood was given $60 million with all these Republican victories. And he appointed the guy who's White House counsel now, what's his name? Alberto Gonzalez. George W. Bush appointed him to the Texas Supreme Court. He's a pro-abort. And then Bush brought him to the White House. And the consistent rumor is that he's Bush's leading choice for a Supreme Court justice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bush, he pretty much, he got a number of pro-aborts and liberals on the Texas Supreme Court and in high judicial positions in Texas. Radical, feminist, pro-abort, open supporter of Planned Parenthood. You know, you take somebody like that and put her on a district court judge for Houston. So he does a lot of things that are right up there with the things that his father did. And believe me, his father did not make life in America any safer for unborn children or for Christians, mm-hmm. for that matter.
So what do you think? Will God answer his prayer?
For what? What
Bush's
prayer?
His prayer for the country and for the nation, because he's a believer.
Well, did God answer the prayers of the prophets to protect Israel in the Old Testament? I mean, more often than not, Israel was extremely wicked, and they were being trounced on by their neighbors because of how evil they were. And because of being evil, when you're evil, there's a weakness, and there's also a lack of wisdom. And people often cannot stomach what it means to protect yourself and to enforce justice and to have righteous laws. People not only don't know what they are, they can't stomach the thought of them. And I'd say our government is right smack dab in the middle of that wickedness. We have a wicked government here in America. Mm-hmm. Isn't that obvious?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ronald Reagan, he was a neat guy. I love Ronald Reagan. But during the 12 years of Reagan and Bush, the homosexuals, in the late 70s, the homosexuals were an extreme fringe influence. And by the time 12 years of Reagan and Bush were over, the homosexuals were a leading political force in America. A leading political force. Planned Parenthood has gotten hundreds of millions of dollars out of Republican administrations.
Well, maybe our expectations then are wrong. If we're living in an evil age and our country is filled with wickedness and evil.
Well, do you think John the Baptist's expectations were wrong? Or Elijah's, or Jeremiah's.
Well, I mean, to ask the country, which is, I would say, it would be a good amount of unbelievers in God, to ask them to conform to godliness would be unrealistic.
Of course, that is unrealistic, and that's why any form of democracy is guaranteed to be a failure, because Jesus said the majority of people are evil. So if the majority rules, you're in big trouble. They're going
to leave. If you had a godly president, you know, trying to bring in some morality, his hands may still be tied from all the
he'd have a lot better success of doing right if he would stop appointing child murderers as judges. That'd be a good first step. That's sort of like a baby step.
I agree with you.
Hey, thank you, Dave. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.